Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We had a whole plan for the show, and then news happens, and then it's like, great, well, you know, whole plan that we planned all morning and all last night, just poof, because the news this morning, Stephon Diggs was traded to the Houston Texans. Compensation is a 2025 second and 2024 fifth and sixth round pick. So Stephon Diggs heading to Houston with Nico Collins and Tank Dell, Joe Mixon, who the Texans acquired in free agency, and obviously, of course, the new face of the franchise, C.J. Stroud. Is there a downside to this move for the Texans? Frankly, like, you're giving up very little draft compensation. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, a second round pick next year, you know, second round pick isn't nothing, but it's also not something that you have to worry about until next year. The money is the money.
Yes.
Absolutely. But they've got C.J. Stroud. The Texans have C.J. Stroud on his rookie deal. Mm-hmm. This is a go for it move, I believe, for the Houston Texans. But if Stephon Diggs, let's say, has, you know, a 700-yard season, maybe his worst season since he got to Buffalo, whatever it might be. I mean, the Texans still have Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and I don't know the John Mechie situation, but he still is under contract with the Houston Texans. So it's not like they're putting all of their eggs into the Stephon Diggs basket.
It just gives them another weapon. That's all it does. It's not like they are like this move. You know, the wide receiver room hinges on whether Stephon Diggs is the same Stephon Diggs he has been with the Buffalo Bills and even the Minnesota Vikings, or if he's an aging receiver. In this case, I don't think, you know, the Houston Texans did that. I don't think they believe that he makes or break this room. He helps. He adds. He's an add-on to a young, good team. But here's the good part for Houston Texan fans. The bad part for Titan fans, if the Titans don't get it right with their quarterback this year, if they don't see, you know, the progression they need to see, is that even with Houston, they got this now is 3-year window. They got this 3-year window to build this team to win a championship. Because after 3 years or after 4 years, they got to pay their quarterback. 4 to 5 years. In the next 4 to 5 years, they got to pay their quarterback. So that puts them in a great window to add all these pieces that they need to add, regardless of how much they get. They got to pay them. They add them, try to win the Super Bowl. But then here's the bad part for the Titans. If they don't figure it out with their quarterback, if Will doesn't show that he is the guy, is that Houston can reset. Once they pay their quarterback, they can reset and still be a good team. Why? Because they got their quarterback. He's the one guy that sort of balances everything out for them. So the Titans, we need to hope that Will Levis hits this season, meaning he shows the progression. He doesn't need to be an all-pro. He doesn't need to be an elite quarterback, even though I would love for that to be the case. But he needs to show that he's progressing as a quarterback. Because if he doesn't, like I said an hour ago, now that puts you back even another year, possibly even two, because you got to restart again.
Because not only are you not getting great quarterback play, you also have to go back and basically restart from the beginning.
Absolutely.
But D-Base, you bring up, you know, if the Texans are getting the Stephon Diggs that he was in Buffalo, mm-hmm. I think if you're the Texans, you hope that you're getting that on the field. But this is the downside that I see, mm-hmm. is what if the Texans get the Stephon Diggs off the field? Because Stephon Diggs, we talked about it earlier, Stephon Diggs was a problem. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs created drama in the locker room. He was very obviously, invisibly upset, throwing his helmet on the sidelines after games. Social media has become like his go-to place. We've always complained about it with A.J. Brown. Like, Adam Schefter tweeted this screenshot out, and this was last night. RG3 tweeted out a podcast. The headline is Stephon Diggs essential to Josh Allen's success? Someone else responds, says, does Josh Allen benefit from having a top-tier receiver? Yes. Is he essential to his success? No. Stephon Diggs replied, you sure? And that's just one of many examples of Stefon Diggs going to social media, being very outwardly upset with his team, causing friction and drama within a locker room. It happened in Minnesota. It happened in Buffalo. That's the downside that I see. I think that Stefon Diggs is probably a good person, but yeah. I don't know how good he is for a locker room.
Well, I think Stefon took the question personal, but it wasn't meant to be personal. When they say, listen, I know that Josh, the person that benefited more from Stefon Diggs was Josh Allen. But we're not asking him, we're not asking the question a past tense. We're asking it in the, you know, in the future, like, is he essential? He's not essential. He, Stefon Diggs, isn't. But you got to get another receiver. You have to get another playmaker. The playmaker is essential for him, not necessarily the player's name. You can be anybody, but you got to be a playmaker. So Stefon took it as a dig, no pun intended, but it took it as a dig to him. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't a dig to him. It's, hey, listen, it's moving forward. Is he essential for Josh Allen? Or was he essential for Josh Allen? Well, you're gone now. The question is, can they find another person that can pick up where you left off, or can eventually be the guy that you were for Josh Allen?
Do you think Stefon Diggs is bad for a locker room?
I can't say that he's bad for a locker room. I mean, other than, and we understand it started happening once they started losing. Once they started losing some games here and there. It's not that he's bad for a locker room, because I don't think Stefon Diggs is bad for a locker room. I think he has to, as he starts to, he has to understand that, listen, my move from Minnesota to Buffalo, and then from Buffalo to now Houston, what happened, what transpired in all three of those situations, if you're being honest with yourself? Okay, I wanted out of, you know, Minnesota, and I caused a fuss. So they got me out of Minnesota. They traded me. I caused a fuss here. I'm a damn good player, but I caused a fuss on the field when I didn't get the ball. All right. Now you go to your new spot. CJ Stroud is not going to allow him to do that. DeNico Ryans is not going to allow him to do that. They're not. You can't do it with this young quarterback. You just can't. As a veteran player, you can't, especially not that first year. Whether you're getting the ball or not, you can't do that to a young quarterback. Why? Because the young quarterback, he gets sort of, he feels compelled now to get you the ball every time. Even so much so that he's going outside of the offense. Why? Because he respects you enough, the things that you've done in his league, that he's trying to make you happy.
That would be my concern.
Exactly. And you can't do that to a young quarterback. That's why it was imperative for me last year. That's why I said, listen, Traylon needs to come on. It needs to be an even playing ground with everybody, because the last thing you want is for a young guy to just look at one guy. And then once that one guy is covered, he has no place else to go because he's so comfortable to throwing it to this guy. You got to find other options. DeNico Ryans is not going to allow that to happen with CJ Stroud. You're going to get your touches, but you got to also remember that there are going to be some games that you're not going to get your touches. But that's how we operate here in Houston. Some games are going to be your game. Some games are going to be Nico Collins. The problem was that Diggs thought he was the only playmaker on that offense. And I can't sit here and say he wasn't, other than Josh Allen. He was their playmaker for a good while.
My concern is partially that and the chemistry. I thought, for example, DeAndre Hopkins – did a good job of not making a lot of noise his first year with the Titans.
He's not really a noise maker.
Right. Diggs has been in the past. The other problem is for the Texans, this is why it's a little gamble, is he's very expensive, and he's 31. He's not 26, 27 like he was when he came to the Bills, right? He had three great years and then about a half of a great year last year and then a big drop-off. And even when they rallied at the end of the year, He wasn't pulling the rope a whole lot. He wasn't leading them. So that would be my concern if I'm Houston, is not necessarily what you're giving up second rounder you could deal with, although they don't have a first rounder this year. I looked that they've got a couple of seconds this year, and so that they have no second the following year, but they've got a decent amount of draft capital. They've decided to go for it. But if it doesn't work, you're stuck with a bad contract and an older receiver and maybe an unhappy receiver who's made noise. So it could go bad. It could.
It could. And if you look at his track record, mm-hmm. it has gone bad everywhere he's been. Minnesota, like you said, it was a fuss causer in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So much so that they traded him away to Buffalo, which really ended up being probably the smartest move that Minnesota could have made because then they ended up with Justin Jefferson. But he goes to Buffalo, and now everything's all great in Buffalo, and I'm so happy, and I'm with my best friend Josh Allen until things go sour. And when things went sour, they went bad, and bad publicly. And Stephon Diggs had no problem making that a public issue. And we're talking about Kirk Cousins and Josh Allen, both who have been in the league a whole hell of a lot longer and have done a whole hell of a lot more than C.J. Stroud has done in the NFL. And look, that's no disrespect to C.J. Stroud.
Oh, of course.
Look, it's your second year in the league. Mm-hmm. And I think that C.J. Stroud is going to be great. And I'm terrified for what C.J. Stroud will do in the AFC South. But also, who's to say that Stephon Diggs doesn't come into that locker room and say, I'm the boss. This is only your second year. I've been around. I've done this. I've made plays. I don't know. And maybe it works out. But at least Stephon Diggs' track record would show me that after a couple of years, things are going to go stale and things are going to go sour.
Well, this may have, and hopefully this is the way he's approaching this, because he's closer to the retirement than not. And this may be his last best shot to make it to a Super Bowl, because the quarterback's young. The best defensive player is young head coach. This organization seems like it's ticking upward. So this may be his best last opportunity to win a championship. But what he needs to realize is this. This may have been the best thing for his career. It may turn out to be the best for him. And it may turn out to ultimately be good for Buffalo as well. But I'm saying for Stephon Diggs, this may be best, because he's never been on a team other than when he was in Minnesota and Adam Thielen started coming on. But I don't think he's ever been on a team where he had a bona fide, legitimate number two or number one playing next to him. This is the first time he's going to have two other receivers that can flat out make it happen. So this takes the pressure off of him to be the guy every game. Now you may get a better Stephon Diggs with less targets. And he may not realize that until the season actually starts and get going, that you may not get 160 targets, but the production may be more efficient and better. Why? Because now you got two guys that defenses, two other guys besides yourself that defenses got to worry about. So this may have been a blessing for him. You got out of Buffalo where you were the only playmaker from a pass catching standpoint.
Gabe Davis was solid.
But Gabe was, I mean.
He was clearly the number two, though.
Yeah, so he was number, like we talked number about with, two, number
with
three.
With Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like, can a guy, this is the question with a lot of main feed me the ball number ones. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a stage of your career where you have to be okay.
Exactly.
If you don't get 150 targets.
Absolutely.
Right? If it's more like 110 mm-hmm. or something.
And that's why I said the second year for both. Now, this is going to be a critical year for D-Hop. And it's going to be a critical year for Stephon Diggs, because
Ridley. Ridley as
no,
well.
It's
new ground. I'm the big money guy. I'm coming in. But I got DeAndre Hopkins over here. There's got to be some chemistry.
No, but you're right in that regard. But it's going to be critical for these two guys, because now you are truly the second guy. Whether D-Hop believes that about himself, which I know he still believes he's the number one, I get it. But they brought in a younger guy, a bigger contract. He's the number one. You're the number two. There's nothing wrong with that. Why? Because now you get all the attention. I don't. I can go out here and flourish. I said this last year. I said his numbers will be efficient, D-Hop. I said his numbers will be efficient. But your offense is not going to be explosive the way it needs to be. He was efficient. The offense wasn't explosive. Okay? Mm-hmm. This year, I think the offense will be more explosive, and he will be efficient, meaning D-Hop. Why? Because now Calvin Ridley's on the team. Now, he's my number one. You will get some targets, but they will be efficient targets, and your numbers may end up being the exact same when I'm talking yardage and touchdowns. It may be exact same. As a matter of fact, you may have more touchdowns than you did last year.
That
I'm
would
just
be
telling
the
y'all how all this works when you bring ultimately that number one guy to a guy that has been the number one for so long, and now he slides into that number two position. Now you end up being more efficient as a player because you're not getting a lot of targets, but the targets you are getting, they're basically like gimmies. Like a lot of passes he caught last year were like gimme passes. He made some great catches, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it was like, let me find a hole in here, wide open, get it. How much more you think that's going to be with Calvin Ridley now? Now they got to pay attention to him. Mm-hmm.
But I think also with Ridley, he's looking over, and he said it at his press conference. He said, that's one of the GOATs, man, DeAndre Hopkins. I've watched DeAndre Hopkins. He's an awesome receiver. If he's deferring some to Hopkins, I think he's already kind of said, just like when A.J. Brown had Julio Jones come in, he kind of rolled out the red carpet. Remember, he's like, oh, man, Julio, come on over. It'll be a little different, I think, with Diggs, with especially what we know about Diggs, what we've seen, and he's probably looking at Nico Collins.
No, but he has to respect what Nico did.
He should.
Yeah.
But that's where I wonder, is he okay?
I would also say respect what Josh Allen did, but he didn't do a whole lot of that in Buffalo.
They won a lot of games, though.
Like, yeah, they won a lot now.
That's what I'm saying, is Josh Allen did a lot in Buffalo.
Sure.
But Stephon Diggs still found a way to turn to Josh Allen.
Because Stephon.
Yes, okay, good point. Yes.
Because he felt that they were not giving him the respect that he deserved because they looked at Josh Allen as the savior, when in actuality, he really is not the savior. He's just an added – he's a good quarterback that had the benefit – of having a damn good receiver that helped him grow in the game. Having a number one receiver as a young quarterback is huge. It allows you to grow differently in the game than a young quarterback with no receiver. And I think people miss that. And that's what Stephon Diggs was so upset about. Like, oh, now y'all don't need me because y'all think he's the guy. All right, let's see what happens when I'm not there. That's why he's so pissed off, because y'all forgot about what got y'all there. And what got y'all there was Stephon Diggs.
But what does he want? A red carpet? More money?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
On the front page of every single magazine in the city of Buffalo?
I can only tell you how he potentially feels as a receiver playing that position. And you feel like, this stuff wasn't going until I stepped into the building. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I know how that feels. Where all of a sudden you step in the building and you start doing your thing, but everybody's look over you like, oh, yes, these men. You're thinking like, man, where was this team before I got here or before I started doing my thing? Where were they as a passing team? Now, all of a sudden, y'all don't need me? All right, cool.
I do think it's telling, and I'll apply the same logic to the Stephon Diggs trade that I did with the L'Jarius Sneed trade of you gave him up for not very many picks. There's got to be something more to that. I look at that the same way with this Stephon Diggs trade. Is the Bills are eating, what did you say, Nick, $31 million in dead money?
Yes, according to NBC Sports, it is $31 million.
You're eating $31 million in dead money for a 2025 second-round pick and creating significantly more holes on your offense just to get rid of him.
I think Josh Allen got a little bit uncomfortable with Stephon Diggs, because if you are the elite quarterback that many people say you are, and you are the franchise player, ain't no way in hell y'all going to get rid of my wide receiver that has helped me the last 4 years. Y'all just going to give him away. Like, we need to talk. Like, I am the franchise, Josh Allen. I am the franchise. And y'all got rid of my best receiver? We need to talk. But I guess he didn't feel that way. So that means that relationship may not have been as peachy creamy as what many people thought at first.
Well, and I'll go back to that tweet that Stephon Diggs put out. And this was last night when a fan was responding to RG3's podcast of, you know, does Josh Allen need Stephon Diggs? No. And Stephon Diggs replied, you sure?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very publicly, like, painting your quarterback, your guy, in a bad light.
Went back to look at that. It is now deleted, that tweet.
Interesting.
Oh. So just putting that out
the
there.
The tweet is now deleted.
The AJ Brown School of Twitter.
Yeah. I guess what class is that? Is that like a COM 341? Is that what that is?
I think that's retract, tweet retract 101, yeah. Maybe 101 or 201. Yeah.
I'll have to add that to my
The science of walking back.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of thoughts on this. We'll get into your phone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. May, say tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the St. Paul Saints at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20 p.m., first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball and 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
Yeah, you're playing for a little more with a Final Four on the line, but to me, like, I'm not thinking like, oh my God, there's 15 million people at home watching this game right now. Like, no, like, that's not what's happening. It's like, what can I do for my team to help me win the game right now?
All right, that was Kalen Clark post-game after the Iowa Hawkeyes took down the LSU Tigers in the Elite Eight. 41 points from Kalen Clark. 12.3 million viewers for that LSU-Iowa Elite Eight game. That is the most viewership that an ESPN college basketball game has ever gotten. Men's, women's, period. That's the most for any women's college basketball game ever. That's more than every MLB game last season, every NHL game last season, every MLS game last season, every NBA game last season except for one, and every college football playoff regular season game last season except for one, and that one game was Michigan-Ohio State with a trip to the college football playoff on the line. Mm.
What was the one NBA game? That's trying to think off the top of my head. Question. What would that have been?
Probably something LeBron.
Did I miss that game? I hope I was watching.
Yeah, I hope I was. I'm trying to figure out what it was.
I missed something big if I didn't watch
LeBron's
that game.
Seriously. Breaking the scoring record? I'm sure it wasn't that one.
No,
it
I don't think so.
Something
probably
LeBron
a playoff,
related.
Probably a big playoff game, right?
But what big playoff game? Like, everybody seven, just everybody knew. Maybe it could have been, well, Boston. Boston. Yeah, Boston made it to the finals last year, right? Yeah.
They lost in the Eastern
Conference finals, yeah.
In game seven.
Yeah, you're right. They lost to Miami. Was it Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then the Denver Nuggets beat Miami. So I don't even see that as being a big matchup that somebody would be.
The point is, that was a massive audience, as we thought it would be. It was even bigger than I thought. But it fell right on a Monday night. There weren't a whole lot of other games. There was the build-up. Mm-hmm. It was the perfect storm. I wonder what would top that.
And it was worth it, though. The game was worth it.
Oh, yeah. It was a tremendously entertaining game.
I think the only game that probably would top that is Iowa versus South Carolina. Because South Carolina, if they would have made it that far, they would have been undefeated. They would be undefeated.
You could have, and they beat them last year. Yeah. It would be a rematch.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely.
Because Iowa, UConn in the Final Four, NC State, South Carolina. I would say South Carolina, Iowa would probably beat it.
Exactly.
But you don't have the same kind of, drama and controversy that you had with
because it was like the rematch of the national championship game.
I will say this though, don't you think if it's South Carolina undefeated against Iowa, it's got a shot.
Oh, it has to break.
It's got a shot.
It does.
In the finals. It's a rematch, and there was a lot of buzz over last year when they beat them.
Totally.
And they stopped an undefeated season. There was some spice to that one, too.
It was a good one. I would say that would be the game. South Carolina, Iowa would be the game.
That could top it.
But I do wonder, with what comes next for both the college game and now that Caitlin Clark is headed to the WNBA, Angel Reese announced today that she's declaring for the WNBA draft. Mm-hmm. In a sport like women's college basketball, where the next level, it's not nearly as popular as it is in the college level. I mean, we just talked about 12.5 million people watched an Elite Eight game. The average viewership for just an average regular season WNBA game is 500,000. And the viewership is much lower. Is Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, does their popularity continue to grow at the next level? And does having those faces and those names and those brands in the WNBA, does that benefit the WNBA? Or will Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark just kind of be remembered as who they were at Iowa and LSU respectively, and their popularity just kind of plummets. And it's the same thing with the college level. Like, is the college the women's college basketball game, is it as popular next season without the characters of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese than it was with it?
I think it has the potential to, because you still have superstar women, superstar players that are going to be at the collegiate level. Led by Juju Watkins, and then you know the young lady out of LSU, Flage. Mm-hmm. So those two girls are going to be marquee players next year. They're going to be on every reel that's being played for women's college basketball. And then there's other girls that are out there. Paige Becker, is she coming out this year? Or is she coming back for another year?
I think she's coming back for another year.
So then you have Paige Becker as well. So you have these three marquee players that are going to be plastered everywhere. So
but they're not Caitlin Clark.
They're not Caitlin Clark. But Caitlin Clark wasn't Caitlin Clark before Paige Becker got hurt. You know, we weren't talking about Caitlin Clark 2 years ago. That's why we can't just say, well, once Caitlin leaves and Angel Reese leaves, that it's going to lose its luster. No, I think collegiate women's basketball is doing it the right, they're doing it the right way. They are getting these young players and they're hyping them up, and they deserve it, like the Juju Watkins and so forth, young lady out of LSU. They're pubbing them now, so when they are actually on that stage, once Caitlin's gone, once Angel Reese is gone, now these girls become marquee players and everybody knows their name. That's why I said you needed to watch this, you know, the Elite Eights and the Final Fours, because these are the ladies you're going to be talking about next year.
Yeah,
that are going to be leading the conference next year.
I had not really watched Juju Watkins mm-hmm. until the next game. I mean, just the other night, I stayed and watched the next game. I was flipping around, that was a great game.
Yeah,
my gosh, and she is a unique player. Mm-hmm. I think to answer your question, Caroline, is we see in the men's game a lot dominant college players who, just because of the way their game is, don't dominate at the highest level. And so I wonder with Reese and Caitlin Clark, just they're unique, they're amazing players. I think they'll be fine in the WNBA, but will they dominate? Like, I think to maintain the status they have right now, they have to continue to be in the spotlight and dominate. And that's not going to be easy, right?
No.
Playing against older players, veteran players who've been doing it for a long, long time, and the game is different. Right?
Yeah, but even the guy.
And I'd love to talk to scouts. I don't know what translates in the WNBA as opposed to college. I would imagine if you can shoot from 30 feet out.
You can shoot from 30 feet out, yeah. No matter where.
And if you're 6'3", you're 6'3".
But you know, will they be able to guard Caitlin Clark a little better, make it a little tougher
possibly,
for her?
Possibly, yeah.
Possibly.
Possibly,
right?
But that jump shot, you can take that thing anywhere and it's going to flourish.
she just keeps backing
but
up.
But I think if you look at.
She would flourish in the NBA.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
Flourish anywhere. I mean, but if you just look at the history of collegiate players, dominant collegiate players going to the WNBA. Now, I know the WNBA is a little bit popular, more popular than what it was, but if you just look at the history, a lot of these great players that were in college and then went to WNBA, they were almost forgotten in a sense, you know. And it's not their fault. It's just that the WNBA isn't as popular. So I think Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, they're going to go to the WNBA, be great, but their popularity would never be as high. It's going to be hard to be as high as it was this season.
And if they aren't the ones to change it and to make that next level more popular, frankly, I don't know who could.
It's going to be tough.
That's going to do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m., coming up next, Jared gives his reaction to the Stephon Diggs trade and what that means for the Tennessee Titans. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The big news of the day, the Buffalo Bills traded wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second-round pick and 2024 fifth- and sixth-round picks. This is a go-for-it move. This is a we're-in-a-Super-Bowl-window kind of move for the Houston Texans. But I do wonder, Stephon Diggs caused a fuss in Minnesota. He gets traded to Buffalo. Stephon Diggs causes a fuss in Buffalo. Is that going to become a problem for Houston? Want to get into our thoughts on this? Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Adam in Portland is on the line. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline. I hope it becomes a huge problem for Houston. I hope he is just like a horrible teammate. You know what's going to happen? He's going to go there, and they're probably going to win a Super Bowl in like 2 years because they're ready. I mean, I love Stroud. I hate him. I hate him, but I love him at the same time. Like, I love him from a fan standpoint. I hate him from a AFC South standpoint. But I think Josh Allen is like the most wildly overrated player in history of the NFL. Like, whoa. Just imagine he isn't. Imagine he isn't so big. Imagine he isn't like he doesn't have that. I don't know. It's like Cam, man. Except he's not as good as Cam was. It's just weird to me. He's more Tebow than he is Cam. And I say that with love, but like he needs this player.
Do you say it with love?
But before you, but just imagine, like before we all remember him, like how far his ceiling was before he got Stephon Diggs, and now Stephon Diggs is gone again. So, and you take Gabe Davis, which I think is like a really underrated piece of this as well. Like I think he's going to struggle, man. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be a bad football team, and can't just get rid of all the pieces overnight and expect things to be the same. So I think they'll be bad.
Thanks for your call, Adam. I think easy to feel today. And I would feel the same way of like, what in the world are the Bills going to do? That Josh Allen became Josh Allen after he got Stephon Diggs into the mix. But what if the Bills trade up from 28 to 5? And it's going to cost a lot, but
ooh,
what if?
Man.
And then they take Malik Nabers. Do we feel different? I think you have to.
Yeah, you have to, because you figure he would have, you know, they would have positioned themselves to replace their number one receiver. Right now, this group is being led by Curtis Samuel, and no one mistakes Curtis Samuel for a number one or an elite receiver. He's more of a running back, receiver, kind of ish, gimmicky player.
But
he's
not
a
as good as
player.
Brandon Ayuk, and exactly. That kind of hybrid player.
Absolutely. He's a good player for what you want him to do, but he's not a guy that can move the needle
is
for
he a
them.
One?
Who, Curtis Samuel? Mm-hmm. Hell no. Hell no. He's not, I mean, he's a good player, but he's not a one, nor is he a two. He's a guy that you add in that helps bolster an already really good receiving room. They don't have a really good receiving room right now. So basically, the addition of him, and you got to see when they added him while they had Stephon Diggs on the roster. Mm-hmm. Now you remove Stephon Diggs off the roster, and this is at best, a C-minus room.
Oh, at best.
That's at best right now, considering, you know, what the guys that are on that roster in that room have done in the NFL thus far. It's a C-minus at best. So, I don't know. I mean, Josh, I guess they'll figure it out.
Cheese and peas
Buffalo, yeah.
To the Buffalo Bills. Bubba and Bell Mead is on the line. What's up, Bubba?
Well, as a former ball boy for the Buffalo Bills, native and followed them from 1959 and on, I'll say this. Yeah, the C-minus is being, I think right now, is probably being kind, but and who knows what they have on in their mind. But the problem with Diggs is he just, I don't know how else to put it, but he's a too much of a disturber. Mm-hmm. I mean, he and that's the reason they're getting rid of him. And I get that from you know, my friends up in Buffalo and mm-hmm. a former guy that used to work for the Bills, retired 2 years ago. So, you know, he's one of those guys, and to some degree, you know, I think. Excuse me, I'm trying to drive here at the same time, and I can't do both, it doesn't seem like. But
be careful out there.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Well, what Mace had said, you know, I think there's a lot of truth to it. You know, he didn't feel wanted, and, you know, he was only targeted the last part of the year, and he you know, they were down on him for, I guess, the divisional game against, or the championship game against the Chiefs, when he only caught three passes for like 20 yards.
Yeah. So, all great points, Bubba. Appreciate your call. And I think that's really what it comes down to it. The Bills don't want to get rid of Stephon Diggs because he's not a good player. Stephon Diggs is a great player. Stephon Diggs is what, top 10 receiver in the NFL?
Yeah, he's still a top 10 receiver, yes.
So it's not because he can't play.
He has been a top. I think he's at that stage where he could start. He could start going back. And that's another reason, I think, to move on now if you're the Bills.
When you can, yeah.
When you're saying, did we get his best years? I think if you feel like the answer is yes, like it would not surprise me at all if he bounces back and has a good year this year for Houston.
Yeah.
And then every year you're going to have to question, right? We did all summer long last year with DeAndre Hopkins, and he had a good year. He's no longer a top 10, right?
No, yeah, he's no longer a top 10, obviously.
Like Diggs was not a top 10 last year by
he didn't
by
play
definition.
As, yeah,
by
the,
numbers, by the numbers he put up. Yeah. He was outside of the top 10. Still had pretty solid numbers when you look on the surface, but
yeah.
Big difference first half to second half, and efficiency down from the first 3 years where he wasn't just top 10. He might have been top 5, top 2.
Yeah.
You know, at his peak. Like, he led the league in receiving his first year over 1,500 yards. He wasn't close to that last year. So when you're looking at the graph, is the graph steadily going down a little bit, or is it going to bounce back up? Like, you're hoping if you're the Texans, like, all right, he just wants out of there. He's going to come to us. We got this great young quarterback. We're going to get a great age 31 season from him. But history shows it's not easy to all of a sudden bounce back and be better than you were last year.
Well, it's,
at that
it's,
age.
It, him going to Houston, it's, and like I said, it's. I think it's going to be better for him in the long run than not, because I think he's going to be more efficient. Now, because it's not relied solely on him. And I think you come in, you bring him in, and you say, listen, this is how we operate, you know. And he has to understand the way you operated in Buffalo, you can't operate that way with this young quarterback. And the caller made a good point. He was a disturber. And it's not necessarily that he was a disturber. It's who he disturbed. That's what it is. He disturbed the quarterback. I'm sure started to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Like, not that he was scared or anything, but he just got like, why is he like, stop complaining. Like, you just made the quarterback feel a certain way. Like, I gotta always be paying attention to you because I don't want you to, you know, get sideways. So I gotta always be paying attention to you as a quarterback, and I shouldn't have to do that. I should just be, you know, concentrating on the game, not the one player. And Buffalo said, we can't have this. We can't do this. Like, you're making our quarterback uncomfortable. We need to get you out of here. That's why they got him out of here, because he's still a damn good player. You don't get rid of a damn good player just because he may, you know, cause offense once or twice every now and then.
No, you get rid of players because they're problems.
Exactly. And I think he made a person uncomfortable, not everybody. It was one person, and I believe it was the quarterback. Not to say that I think, you know, Josh hates him or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you are in that position as a quarterback, you're the leader. You don't want to have to just worry about all the time, like, man, like, okay, if I don't throw him the ball, you know, this time, or I don't throw him the ball this series, I got to go back to the sideline and hear him, you know, moaning and crying about not getting the ball. I can't worry about that every series. I can see if it happens once every 5 or 6 games, 7 games like that. Okay, I get it. Competitive nature, I understand. But if it's happening all the time, even when we're winning, it makes me feel a certain way as a quarterback, and we can't have that.
We have SportsCenter on, and they were just going through a reel of several different clips of Stephon Diggs yelling at Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs throwing his arms up at Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs doing something and was very vocal or very animated on the sidelines directed toward Josh Allen. That's not a one-time thing.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's not a one-time thing. And that's why they ultimately had to, you know, they felt, and listen, we'll be better in the long run with him on another team. Our quarterback will feel a lot. He will feel like, this is my team now. Like, I'm the leader now without having someone always, you know, coming at him. And it's just, it's a lot of stuff that goes on. And some people may think it's petty. You know, but in the professional world, stuff like that ain't petty.
When you're the Buffalo Bills and you have as much money invested into Josh Allen as
exactly.
you have, if you got a problem with my quarterback, I got a problem with you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get back into your thoughts on this. But coming up next, the ratings were released for the LSU-Iowa Elite Eight game. The most watched women's college basketball game of all time. In fact, the most watched college basketball game on ESPN, period. There's this newfound respect and popularity for women's college basketball. But now what comes next? Now that we're kind of moving out of this era of popular players and characters in women's college basketball into the next one. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.